Okay, so, well, actually, before we start this week's year, I want to follow up on last year for a minute. So last year we spoke about Facebook and social comparison and how we could easily fall into this trap of basing who we think we are based on what others think of us, right? And that's what all the social media, that's what society tells us, that whatever other people think of you, right, if people like your posts, if people are giving you all that external validation, then you feel good about yourself. But if not, then you really don't have any standing on your own, right? So it's amazing. I ordered something from Amazon, and it came. And in the package, there was a card. I just want to read you the... So there's a card about, we want your feedback, right? Because they want 4 or 5 star feedback, right? So this is... So listen to their lesson. Listen to this. Without your review and feedback, we don't exist. Right? Listen to it again. Without your review and feedback, we don't exist. Not much their whole existence, their whole identity is based on people's feedback, right? It's like, and that's the message that we're constantly getting, that however much people praise you and give you, you know, external validation, that's how good you feel about yourself. So we really, again, based on last time's year, we really have to work on getting those internal sources of motivation, right? Basing who we think we are based on how we stack up against ourselves, and not what other people tell us in terms of how we're doing. Okay, so this week's shiur is, I mean, all the shiurim are important, but I think this week's shiur is especially important because a lot of the other shiurim I focused on, like, specific emotions, specific midos, but this, the motivation, is really something that can affect every aspect of your life, right? Anything we do, we need motivation, and we need to figure out why we're doing it and how we're doing it. So Mir Hashem, if you apply the principles that we're going to learn here, I think it could really affect a lot of areas of your life. Okay, so we start with a well-known Gemara. So this Gemara actually appears in, I believe, 5 or 6 places all over Shas. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, Le'olam Yasok Adam, Batora uve mitzvos, afilu shelo lishma. Always a person should involve himself in Torah and mitzvos. And again, it's hard to translate lo lishma, but let's just say for non-pure reasons, right? For external reasons, extraneous reasons, shemitoch shelo lishma, because through doing them for external reasons, ba lishma, you'll come to doing it for the right reasons. Right? So have we all heard this Gemara? Right. So I'll just throw it out to you guys. How do you understand this Gemara? Like, how does that work? How do we get from doing things shelo lishma to lishma? What do you think?
You're still going to have the goal and the end game in your mind of being that I'm doing it lishma. I don't think it'll just come off.
I'm saying, like, how does it actually work? Meaning, how do we get from doing something shelo lishma to lishma?
Someone doing the act and having in mind that eventually it will be lishma, whatever you want to find that as, and then getting there.
It comes to lishma. Okay, so as long as you have the mindset, even when you're engaging in something shelo lishma, if you have the mindset, I know I'm eventually trying to get to lishma, then even the lo-lishma is okay, because you have that mindset, that goal. You're not doing it only for shlo-lishma. You know eventually you're going to get to lishma. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, what else?
Yeah, like what he said, for wife, you like to do breakfast. You're like, stay for the learning. You're like, you want to learn every day. Just come for breakfast as a motivation for yourself. Just learn. Until you understand that, like, you're learning every day, you should keep that learning going.
Good. So you're saying the same thing as Mima, meaning
more, like, more not long term, you say more like manipulation. I have to get myself going, but for example, once I come,
I'll actually be
responsible.
Right. So you know, like, in your mind, right, you don't feel it in your heart and your gut, but in your mind, you know, learning is a good thing, but it's not enough. That itself is not enough to push you to come. But the breakfast, which is more, you know, gut related, that that can push you to come, but you know that you're coming because of the learning. You know that's really why you're coming, but the sort of what pushes you in the moment is the shelo lishma. Okay, good. Good. Any other thoughts about how this whole process works? Of Shelo Lishma leading to Lishma?
Well, it's because, you know, I think obviously you don't have feelings, you know, you don't have a percussion that I want to do it, and we all know that that's what we should be doing. I always thought that it didn't inherently solve itself, but once I know that once I actually end up with Lamaisa and the actions, it will ignite me.
Okay, so tell me if I'm saying what you're saying, that basically in order to feel the true lishma, or the true reasons, you have to just jump in, even though you don't feel it right now, but you jump in and then you'll feel that sort of real lishma, like the real reasons for doing it.
I don't even think you need to have the
Well, you're not going as far as the name, but you're saying even if you do it shelo lishma, but once you're in it, you'll feel the lishma. Right. Okay, good. Yeah, so everything we're saying now definitely manifests in Rishonim and Achronim, and also in psychology. So let's see. So first, before we get to how it works, we seem to have conflicting Ma'amarei Chazal. So if you look at source 2, so we have a Gemara in Tainis, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which both seem to say the opposite of this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, right? What does the Gemara say in Tainis? V'chol ha'osek ba'torah shelo lishma. What does the Gemara say? Nasas asam amaves. It becomes a poison, right? It's a terrible thing. And the Gemara in Brachos says, v'chol ha'osek shelo lishma, even worse, not just it's a poison, but Noach lo shelo nivra. It's better that the person wasn't even created or born, right? If you're gonna go through life and do things for the wrong reasons, shelo lishma, so it's better that you weren't even on this world, right? So those seem to be pretty heavy statements. So the Rishonim addresses, Tosos on the Daf addresses this. So actually, some Achronim say that it's actually a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Marav holds that the derech is do things for the wrong reasons because eventually you'll get to the right reasons, and the Baal Mimras of these Gemaras of Tanis and Brachos really argue, and they say no, you shouldn't engage in things so lishma, try to do lishma, and if you can't do lishma, then it's better that you don't do it. So some Achronim say it's actually a machlokes between these two Gemaras, but Rov Rishonim, Rov Achronim say no, there's ways to be mechalik. So Tosos on the Daf on Brachos says, how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So source 3, Tosa says, so he has a question, Vim Tomar, Hamar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Perek Malkam Shinagu, right, the Gemara appears in many places in Shas, the Olam Yasok Adam at Torah, Uv Mitzvos Afilu Shalol Lishma, Shemitoch Shalol Lishma Baal Lishma. So how can the Gemara here in Brachos say, if you're Osek Shalol Lishma, it's Noach Lo Shalol Nivra? So says Tosos, an important Chiluk, Vyesh Tomar. There's two different types of Shalol Lishma, right, not all Shelo Lishmas are equal. The Hacha here, the Gemara, which says Shelo Lishma, it's better that you weren't even created. What kind of Shelo Lishma does it mean? Hacha Mairi She'eno Lomeid Ela Lekanter Chavera. Here, this terrible Shelo Lishma is that you're learning or you're doing mitzvos so that you can ridicule, Lekanter, to actually ridicule, make fun of the Torah. Right, you're learning a lot, so you could be that guy who always, you know, pokes fun at all the details of the mitzvahs that don't seem to make sense, all those areas of halacha which like seem, you know, archaic or they don't fit in today's world. So if the only reason you're learning Torah and you're doing mitzvahs is just to actually make fun of Torah and to ridicule it, lekanter chaverav, then that's the shelo lishma that's, you know, better as if you weren't created and sam hamaves. But the hasam, but the Gemara that we started with, that you should be osek shelo lishma, what's that talking about? Shelo made almanas sheyichabduhu. You're learning, are you doing mitzvot, so that you'll get kavod, people will respect you, right? Social norms, right? Or just, you know, your friends will respect you, your parents, your rebbeim, whatever it is. A lot of times we engage in mitzvot. Shidduch, exactly right. All these external reasons for why we do mitzvot, why we learn Torah, right? So that's an important chiluk, that there's different types of shelo lishma. There's a very bad type of shelo lishma, which is your only motivation in doing it is to really ridicule and make fun of the Torah and really just to have a good time with it. That's shelo lishma that is off limits according to according to this Mahalach. The Shlo Lishma that's okay, that you should be Osek in, is when it's coming from to get kavod, to get external rewards, right? So that's an important chiluk. So let's go to the Rambam. The Rambam explains this Gemara as a progression. It's sort of a maturity thing, where we start off as young children or as immature individuals, Shlo Lishma, and then as we grow, as we progress in our Yiddishkeit and in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we come to Lishma. So look at the Rambam, source 4. So he says, Kol Osek BaTorah Kedei LeKabel Schar, if you do mitzvos and learn Torah just to get reward, oh, Kedei Shlo Tagia Lav Purano, so just to avoid punishment, Harei Zeh Osek Shlo Lishma. That's called Shlo Lishma. V'chol Ha'os, so... And the Rambam in other places defines this as, in Hilchos Tshuva, defines this as Tshuva or Avoda Meyira, right? You're only keeping mitzvot, you're only not doing Averos because you fear Hashem's punishment. You don't want to get punished, right? You don't want to get that lightning bolt. So you don't do it. You don't do that Avera. That's lower level. What's the higher level? V'chola Oseg Ba, V'lo Leyira, V'lo LeKabaschar. You're not doing it because you fear that lightning bolt. And you're not doing it because you just want to get reward. Ela mipnei avas adon kol haaretz. Just because of your natural or your learned love and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shetziva ba, hari zeh oseg ba lishma. That's lishma. And so, and then he says, and this is why we give kids, you know, incentives. We give them rewards for doing mitzvot and learning Torah. Right? So he says, v'amru chachamim. And he quotes our Gemara, and then he goes further. The fichach, kishemalamdin es aktanim, vesanashim, klal amayaretz, right? Whoever we're referring to, people who have, you know, less das or less maturity, ein melamdin osan elo lavon meyira, ukde lekabel schar, right? Why do we tell the kids, if you learn, you know, this amount of mishnayos, you get this, you know, this toy, or you'll get money, whatever. We give them these external rewards. Until they get more mature and their mind is a little more open and they can think about things in a more expansive way, and then megalim lahem raze ma'at ma'at, and then slowly you reveal that, you know, really we really don't do mitzvahs because you're going to get this nice prize or because I'm going to give you money. Really, there's a higher value, right? There's a special relationship that you could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you do the mitzvahs. And you reveal that to them, you know, this is a very important educational piece. You reveal that thing slowly. You don't hit them over the head at some point when they're 15 and be like, okay, no rewards anymore, now everything is a shema. It's a very slow progression, right? And most of us will never reach the full lishma, right? Most of us are always in a state of growing and getting to that lishma. Umargilin osan le'inyan zeh benachas, right? You slowly work them into it in a very calm and nice way, ad sheyasiguhu v'yaduhu v'yabduhu me'ava, right, until you could actually come to a point where you're doing it not from a place of getting reward or fearing punishment, but because of that love that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you see the value in it in and of itself, and not because of these external, you know, rewards or lack of punishment that you're getting. Good. So the Rambam holds, again, that it's a progression, right? We start as children, as babies, as children, as young people, Shlo Lishma, and then as we mature in life, we're hopefully moving towards that Lishma, doing it for the right reasons, right? Okay, so that's one approach. That sort of Shlo Lishma, Ba Lishma is like a lifelong progression, right? We start Shlo Lishma and we move to Lishma. So psychology has looked at this from a slightly different angle. And, you know, as the words sound, they've looked at motivation, what motivates us to do things, and they've identified these two things that we talked about, extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation, right? So extrinsic motivation is shelo lishma, right? You're getting a reward, people will give you kavod for something. That's extrinsic, outside of you, right? Intrinsic is when there's some important value or belief that you have in yourself, and that's pushing you to do the thing, right? So example, like, you know, exercising or whatever, right? So extrinsic motivation would be, you know, your family or friends will give you that praise for, oh, you're exercising, you're getting in shape, wow, that's so great. Or you get some reward from the gym for attending X number of classes, right? That's extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic is, right, no, internally I know that exercising is good for me. I feel that it's important. I know that it's important. So I don't need any external, you know, rewards or anything. I'll go to the gym myself because I know that it's important. I have that value. I know it's important for me, so I'm going to go. So this is fascinating, actually. They did studies. So the question is, which one is better, right? Is extrinsic motivation better? Is intrinsic motivation better? And when do we use each? So they did some fascinating studies, and they saw that if you take something where a person is intrinsically motivated, right, they're doing it because they believe in it, they want to do it, they're not being pushed to do it from some external reason, and you give them an external reward, then it actually reduces their intrinsic motivation. So here's the example, okay? So they basically took kids, okay, this is really, I mean, this is mean, but they used it for a psychological study. So they took kids who liked toys, right, and they wanted to play with the toys because they liked them. They didn't need any rewards. And they gave the kids rewards for playing with the toys. They said, if you play with this toy, I'll give you this money or this candy, right, whatever. And they saw over time that the kids who were rewarded for playing with a toy, that they had already expressed interest in playing, right? They already had that intrinsic motivation. And then they said, oh, we'll give you extrinsic motivation. They actually became less interested in playing with a toy. Because now they in their mind, they were only playing with a toy because somebody was giving them a prize or money. And it wasn't because they actually liked playing with it. So psychology has identified that we actually have to be careful. Again, we said that la'olam yasagadam shalol lishma, right? But you don't want to do shalol lishma for something that you already are doing lishma. Right? If you're already learning, you're already doing mitzvah lishma, so don't run and say, oh, let me get a shalol lishma here because that maimar chazal of la'olam yasagadam, right? Because psychology shows that it could actually reduce your motivation, because now it's only because I'm getting this external reward. Okay, so we have the Rambam. The Rambam says it's this progression, right? When we're young, we do shalol lishma. When we're older, we do lishma. But Rav Chaim V'lajner, Nev Shachayim, asks a very fundamental question. He says, look at the lashon of that statement in the Gemara. What's the first word of that statement? Right, I'm reviewing the Marav. What's the first word? La'olam, right? Which means what? What's the olam? Forever, right? Always. La'olam. A person should always engage in Torah, Mitzvah, Shalol, Lishma, because then they'll come to the Shema. So, the Nevi Shachaim says, well, according to the Rambam, it seems like when you're a child, so you do the Shalol, Lishma. But then slowly you get to the Shema, and then you don't have to do Shalol, Lishma. So what does la'olam mean? You should always do a Shalol, Lishma. It seems like it's something for children. Even, but obviously if you have lishma, right, okay, you're right, meaning afilu, not implying that we can only do shlo lishma, right, so good, so afilu implies that there might be lishma, even originally, right, but liolam implies that a person should always engage in some way, right, so the Nefesh HaChaim, I didn't bring the actual piece here, but if you look in Shar Gimel, he says, he's more realistic, he says, look, nobody, maybe the biggest tzaddikim, the biggest gedolim, they'll get to pure lishma, right? They'll actually get to a place where they're doing everything purely lishma because of avas Hashem and, you know, solely for the right reasons, but for the hamonam, for everybody else. So even when we get to a place where we're doing things pretty lishma, but we're always going to have a little bit of shalol lishma in everything we do, right? This is a bigger philosophical debate about whether you can actually have true altruism. Altruism means doing something for somebody else without any of your own personal gain, right? So it's a philosophical debate. Can people actually do something purely for others, or is there always some, you know, personal reason for doing it? So some people argue, well, you know, you could do something completely for others and you don't have any benefit, right? You're not getting any reward, you're not getting anything. But others will argue, no, because that feeling, the feeling good when you do it, that itself is a personal gain, right? So there's always, many argue that there's always some personal gain, right? Or even like, well, let's take Yadus, right? You're doing something purely out of Avas Hashem, right? But Avas Hashem feels good to you, or you know it's important. So there's always some part of it that's personally motivated, and I think that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, right? He created us as people. We have that ego, we have that sense of like, I need to do things because it'll be good for me. So I don't think it's a bad thing. The Nevi'im Shachaim says it's not, everybody's going to have some shelo lishma with anything they do, except maybe the yechidei segula, right? But everybody else is going to have some shelo lishma, even in things where you feel it's mostly a shma. Okay? Correct. So you're saying that's sort of a shelo lishma, right?
Right, that's what you call shelo lishma.
Correct. Exactly. So it's a bigger discussion. But yeah, that's a good point. That even the simcha that you feel from doing mitzvahs makes you feel good. Right. Like the Eglei Tal and the Akdama, right? That you should. Right. But there's nothing wrong with feeling. There's nothing wrong with getting enjoyment out of learning. Like some. Exactly. Right. That's what Hashem wants. Some people think, oh, if I'm enjoying my learning, then there's something wrong with it, because like. I shouldn't do it because I'm enjoying it. I should do it because it's, you know, it's right and it's Yedias Hashem and all the Musar Shmuzin are here. So Eglei Tal says no. Part of Limud Torah is that Hashem wants us to enjoy it, right? So that's sort of the same idea, that there's always going to be some enjoyment, some sort of personal gratification in whatever we do. But in Achanami, Hashem wants that, right? It's not necessarily a bad thing. Right. Exactly.
That's
still being in a
state of enjoyment
and love. So you're plugging the Nevi'im Shachaim into the Rambam, that even the Rambam saying that eventually you'll get to the Shema, he's not saying and therefore you're not going to enjoy it, or there's not going to be a personal gain from it or a personal reason, but it's just a higher level of doing things.
The Tosfos himself splits it up that, you know, there's very level of shlomish from Chabdu versus Chantir.
Right.
It's kind of like just a shift of what your emotions are, what's shlomish.
Right, exactly. And I think we've all, you know, just to go back to the Rambam, hopefully we've all had this in terms of certain mitzvahs or certain things in our Avodas Hashem, that when we're kids or when we're younger, we do it because our parents are telling us or our Bayim are telling us, whatever, and then at some point, hopefully, that light bulb goes on and we're like, oh, this actually feels good, or this actually really makes me feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we feel like doing it for the right reasons, right? I could tell you, you know, I think everybody has this with Shabbos at a certain point. Maybe you've had it already, maybe you will have it, but when we're younger, right, Shabbos is really hard because we can't do all these things, we can't, you know, electronics, and we can't this, and we can't that, and we just want Shabbos to be over. And then as you mature, as you get older, at some point it hits you that, like, oh, Shabbos really is an amazing thing, and it does give us so much, and like, and then eventually you don't want Shabbos to end, right? You don't want to go back to the to the regular week. In my graduate program, so they talk about self-care. I don't know, have they talked about self-care in your... Not yet, okay. So basically, because psychology, therapists, you're working with other people and you're hearing all their problems all the time, so it weighs on you, right? It's hard to hear people talk about all their problems and you have to sort of empathize with them, and it's hard. So they talk about self-care, which is the idea that you also have to take care of yourself, because if you're just seeing people all day and you're hearing their problems and you don't take care of yourself, you're just gonna break apart, right? You have to take care of yourself in order that you're able to provide good therapy, good care for others, right? So I remember one class, we went around the class and we each talked about what we do for self-care, right? So I had about, I don't know, 22 people in my class, so they go around and everybody's saying, yeah, I do yoga, you know, I get a massage, I swim, I do this, right? All these things, and they're coming around to me. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I don't have any. I have four kids, I have three jobs. You know, exactly. No, so I'm like, you know, I don't do yoga, I don't swim, I don't do this, I don't do that. I'm like, what am I gonna say? And then I thought about like learning, you know, but I'm like, they're not gonna relate. Like, yeah, I go to the study hall and I put over a text. That's my self-care. I mean, for me it is, but I didn't think they would get that. So I'm thinking, and it's about to come to me, and then it pops into my head. I'm like, Shabbos. I'm like, So I say to them, so they're all saying, you know, I do this once a week, and I do that once a week, twice a week. So I say, so when they come to me, so I say, I have a built-in 25-hour self-care day. I don't just do self-care for an hour a day, 2 hours, sorry, an hour a week, 2 hours a week. I have 25 hours of self-care. And I explained to them, I said, you know, we shut off all electronics, just spend a day with family, go to synagogue, you pray, you know, spiritually we charge. And they were so like, they're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, we never thought of that. So that's a great example where eventually we come to that stage where we feel that Shabbos is not, we do Shabbos as a kid because our parents tell us, as our Rebbeim tell us, because whatever. And then at some point we come to a stage where we say, no, we see the value, we feel the value, we see how important it is, and we realize that it's so important. And so then we have that Lishma. So, but there's another layer here, okay? And this is, I think, so important to keep in mind. And that is that, so again, we have the Rambam that if we do things, Shlo Lishma will come to Lishma, right? But then we have another idea that, and this might be what Rabbi Steinman was alluding to about jumping in, and then eventually once you jump in, you sort of feel it, that if we engage in things shelo lishma, and we do things, just go through the motions, you know, as we say, then it actually changes how we think about it, changes how our brain thinks about it, and it changes how we feel about it. Okay, so let's look at source number 7. So I think this is what the Karen Ora is alluding to. So he comments on that, on one of these Gemaras about Shemitok Shelo Lishma Balishma. He says, source 7, Ki hergel maaseh atov gam b'li kavanas lishma tiviyuhu gam kein lasos mitzvah lishma. Right? Just hergel, you know, going through the motions, regilos, just going through the motions of doing a maaseh tov, a mitzvah, learning, whatever, even without, as Nima said, right, even without thinking, I'm eventually going to get to Lishma, even if you don't have that, you just do it because you like the breakfast, right? You just jump in. You don't even think, oh, eventually I'll get to Lishma, whatever. You're not that pure. You just do it to Lishma, but the hergel, the regularity of doing it, right, just going through the motions, will bring you to Lishma. Okay, so how does that work? So two ways in psychology. So one is what they call the facial feedback hypothesis. Okay, and this is fascinating. I don't know if you've heard about this, but your brain basically takes cues from your body, what you're doing, so much so that your brain looks at how you're acting, what you're doing, and it bases your thoughts or your perceptions of that thing based on what you're doing with your body. Okay, so how does this manifest? So the famous study that they did, and it's been replicated many times, where they have people engage in a stressful task. It's like some hard puzzle or something, just a mundane task which is hard. And one group, they have them just do it regularly. Or one group, they have them, yeah, they do it in a regular manner. And the other group, they tell them, hold a pencil between your nose and your mouth. So basically, you have to put your lip up like this to hold the pencil. And while you're holding the pencil like that, do the task. Okay? Which does what? Which forces you to actually put your mouth into a smile. If you're trying to hold a pencil between your nose and your upper lip, so you actually force yourself into smiling, right? You force your mouth into a smile. And then they, after the task, they gave each group a questionnaire, and basically they had to rate how enjoyable the task was and how much stress they felt while going through the task, because it was a stressful task, okay? And they found this over and over, that the group that had to hold a pencil in their mouths, which forced them into the smiling motion, found the task, the same task, to be less stressful, and they enjoyed it more. Just because their mouth is in a smile. So, and this study has been done many times. And the idea is that your brain basically says, oh, you're smiling, right? I don't know why you're smiling, but you're smiling, so it must be that you're happy about this, or you have some enjoyment about it. Your brain, exactly. And this is the chiddush here, because everybody thinks it's the opposite, right? I think about something in a certain way, I feel a certain way about something, and therefore I do it. So if I don't feel good about it, if I don't feel motivated to do it, I'm not going to do it. kumfaker, that if your brain senses that you're doing it, so it's going to say, oh, you're doing it, you must enjoy doing it if you're smiling, and therefore it changes your, right, it changes your brain chemistry, and it changes the way you think about it. It's amazing, right? They did another study, which is even more amazing. They did another study where they made people also do a very mundane task. So basically, I think they had people like turn, they had like a board with pegs, and they had people like turn the pegs for like 20 minutes or something. It's a very simple, like boring task, okay? And they told them they're doing it for some reason. They didn't tell them the real reason of the study. One group, they paid them $1 to do this very boring thing for 20 minutes. The other group, they paid them $20. Okay, doing the same boring task. One group $20, one group $1. Afterwards, they asked both groups to rate how enjoyable or how enjoyable the activity was. Okay, so what do you think? So how do you think it came out?
Probably the other way around.
Which is
what? That the people who got paid less were more intrinsically motivated to finish the job.
So they rated it what?
That it was more enjoyable.
Right, exactly. So the people who were paid $20, so they said, it was a boring task, but I was being paid $20, so I'm going to turn pegs for 20 minutes because I got $20. The other group, which was paid $1, so they went through something called cognitive dissonance. Have you guys heard about this? Cognitive dissonance? Yeah. So that's when there's a dissonance, a difference, or some non-connection between your actions and your thoughts, right? So the people who are doing this boring thing for 20 minutes, they're only getting paid $1. So they're like, hold on, why am I doing this boring thing, turning pegs for 20 minutes, if I'm only getting paid $1? And therefore, they convinced their brain that what they were doing was actually more enjoyable, because why would I do this thing for 20 minutes for $1? It must be there's some value to it, there's some enjoyment, right? So this is another example, this cognitive dissonance, where if we engage in actions, then we can actually convince our brain that what we're doing is important or valuable, okay? And this thing that they discovered in the past, 20, 30 years in psychology is really, really, I think, what the Sefer HaChinuch says over and over again. That the Sefer HaChinuch was written as Rishon, who wrote this Sefer to explain the mitzvot to his son. And he tries to give reasons for all the mitzvahs, right? Simple reasons that his son can understand. So he has a number of themes, but one theme that appears many times throughout many mitzvahs is that this idea that acharei hapulos nimshachim halavavos, right? That our thoughts about something, our feelings about something, actually follow from our actions about it, right? So here's a good example. Mitzvah source 10. Mitzvah Tes Zayin, it's the mitzvah not to break the bones of the Korban Pesach, right? The pasuk says, "Ve'etzem l'shish berbo," you're not supposed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, what's the reason for this, right? It seems like a bit of a strange mitzvah. Why can't we break bones? So he says, amazing. He says, the whole idea of the Korban Pesach, and which we create every night, every year to Seder, is that we feel like Melachim, right? We feel like royalty. We went from Avdos to Cheiros, and we want to recreate that. We want to feel like royalty. And even in Mitzrayim, they were Avadim. Hashem wanted to give them ways of feeling like they can get themselves out of that Eved mentality and feel like real people, feel like Melachim. So he says, Melachim, kings, right? Breaking the bones of your meat is a very lowly thing, right? Melachim, kings, don't break the bones. They eat the thing whole. It's a very lowly way of eating, to break the bones of an animal that you're eating. So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, by engaging in the action of not breaking the bones, we are showing our brain, we're convincing ourselves, we're making us feel and think that we are melachim, right? We're going through the motions of being a melech, right? And that's the same thing with, leaning, drinking wine, right? All the things we do at the Seder to make us feel like kings, exactly how it's working. We're engaging in mitzvahs and behaviors, and through those behaviors, it's changing how we think of ourselves, how we feel of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just read the beautiful Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch. He says, "Da ki adam nifal kifi pulosav." Right? A person works through his actions. V'libo, v'chol machshav osav, his heart, right, his feelings, and his thoughts, tamid achar ma'asav shu osav b'hem, follow what he's doing, right? Not like we usually think that I feel a certain way about something, or I think a certain way, and therefore I do it. It's the opposite. By doing this thing, by engaging in it, you change your thinking, and you change your feeling about it. Im tov, im ra. Right, and he says a very scary thing. Afilu rasha gamur. Well, first the positive thing. Afilu rasha gamur b'levavo. V'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak ra kol hayom. Even if at heart, right, deep down, you're really a rasha, you're really a terrible person. But im ya'ara rucho v'yasi mishtadlusa v'asko v'asmada b'torah v'mitzvahs. But you just go through the motions. Right, you come to YPLA, you learn, you do mitzvahs. Afilu shelo l'shem shamayim. Even shelo l'shma. Miyad yinat el atov. So you convince your brain, you change your neshama, your brain, into believing that you are, and it's not just believing, you actually become a good person. Uvakoch ma'isav yamisa yetzer hara ki acharei apulos nimshachim alavavos. And now here's the scary part. Vafili miyad adam tzadik gomor ulavavo yasher v'tamim. And the opposite. If really deep down you're a good person, chavetz b'torah v'mitzvos imulai. But you engage in mundane and Russia rishos things. Right, the king appointed you to be the whatever, the executioner, the some role that makes you engage in ra things. The MS. Also, if you engage in those things all day, yashuv izmanin asmanim mitzitkas libo lios rasha gamar. Then even if deep down you started as a tzadik gamar, your actions will actually change you, push you, and change the way you think about yourself to be a Rasha Gamar. Ki yadua hadavar ve'emes shekol adam nifal kifi pulo sav kimo she'amarno. Right? So, that's the idea, that it's not just, again, one level of shelo lishma bal lishma is the Rambam, that eventually, you know, when you're immature, you do shelo lishma, you come to the lishma. But I think the more significant understanding of this Maamar Chazal is this idea that by engaging in things in mitzvot Torah shelo lishma, meaning just the act of doing it, right, go through the motions, right, a lot of times we said in my program, fake it till you make it, right, because when people start out and they're seeing clients and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I've had one class, I've had two classes, and I'm trying to help people with their problems, I don't know what I'm doing. So the advice our professors kept giving us is, no, fake it till you make it. Yeah, go do whatever you can, and eventually, because you do it, you'll learn, and you'll change your perception of yourself, and you'll see, oh yeah, I am a good therapist. I can help people. I can do it. And so I think this is a crucial, crucial mindset to keep in mind whenever we're doing anything, right? That sometimes we don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like coming to davening. We don't feel like learning. We don't feel like doing anything in Yados. But we have to know that if we push ourselves to do it, not just that eventually we'll come to lishma, but it will actually change our perception of it. It will make us think, and it's not just like we're tricking ourselves, it actually changes who we are, as the Sefer HaChinuch said. It changes who we are in order to become people who are doing it for lishma reasons. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should always have this in mind, and even like the Nevi Shachaim says, la'olam, right, we're always going to be, have some shelo lishma incorporated, because again, we can never get to purely lishma, but if we have that in mind, and maybe like Nima said, we know that we're getting to lishma, we know that because we're doing these things shelo lishma, we're getting to lishma, then Mirtz Hashem, we can really believe in what we do, and what we do can change us, l'tov, and make us better people. Yeah.